Everyone wants to be a hero. Or everyone likes to think of themselves as one who is a protector. When we daydream, maybe we think of ourselves as the father, Jean Valjean from Les Miserables, whisking away the helpless Cosette from the abusive household. Or maybe we like to think of ourselves as a protector. Maybe the protector Katniss Everdeen from the Hunger Games Chronicles, raising her hand and saying, "I volunteer as tribute," when the name of the weaker Primrose is called. Indeed, I think the epitome of this type of fatherly protector, the epitome of protecting the needy, can be thought of as a knight. Maybe a knight of the Round Table of King Arthur's court of Camelot. Part of the oath these knights would take included the phrase, "I will defend those who cannot defend themselves." And I think in the human mind, there is a desire to defend those who cannot defend themselves. We know it is good to be a protector. We know it is good to be a father-like figure. However, we so often fail. Society does not always care for the defenseless, the needy, the downtrodden. The desires in our hearts and minds are often left to be just that, desires. However, our God has these same desires. God desires to help and care for the ones in need. But our God's desires do not remain simply desires, because our God takes action. So Psalm 68:5, if you'll read it with me. "Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation." God's word shows us that our God is a true father and protector. He's a father and protector both of the helpless in spirit and the father and protector of the helpless in society. I think this verse shows us two big points that will serve in our devotional tonight. One, God is a father and protector to the orphan and widow in spirit. And two, God is the father and the protector to the orphan and widow in society. So point number one, God is a father and protector to the helpless in spirit. God is the father and protector. He is these things in his holy habitation. He is these things in his dwelling. To be a father and to be a protector is a part of the very nature of God. This verse is getting to the very identity of God. Is God in his holy habitation? He is a father. He is limitlessly powerful, and yet he is a father that is unbelievably personal. This psalm, Psalm 68, it's full of calls to praise for God holding his people, scattering his enemies, and bringing about salvation. The psalm says that our God is one whom under the earth quaked and the heavens poured down rain, in verse 8. And yet he is also the one whom provides for the needy, in verse 10. It's showing us that we cannot fully understand the power of our God, and yet he is still our father. In fact, he has always been a father. In Matthew 7, Jesus speaks of how the character of our God is one of a father, a caring father who blesses and who gives. So this caring father is one who, because he is a father and protector in his nature, in his identity, he cares for those who are helpless in spirit. If to be a father and a protector is his very nature, how does he care for the spiritually helpless? Quite simply, through the foundations of the Christian faith, through the gospel. God, being a loving father, sent his son to die in our place. And he did so because he loved the world. It was his nature to care for us. Jesus did not remain in that holy habitation. He came down to earth for the spiritually helpless. And we are, without Jesus, we are spiritually helpless. Right? Without Jesus, we are the spiritual orphan. Without Jesus, we are the spiritual widow, cut off from God and thus condemned to hell. And I think there's a big difference between the society orphan and the widow, and then the spiritual orphan and the widow. Because in society, oftentimes, those who are vulnerable and helpless, the orphan and the widow in society, well, they're the victim, right? Maybe through circumstances or things that happen in their life, that they are put in this situation. But for us, if we are not saved by Christ, the spiritual orphan and the widow, well, we are the offender. We are the sinners. We are responsible for our sin and our orphanhood or our widowhood. So in response to this news of Jesus, we are called to repent and then believe in the sacrifice on the cross of Jesus and then his resurrection. If we believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for our sins and then rose again 3 days later, and we repent from these sins, then we are saved, right? We are no longer the spiritual orphan. We are no longer the spiritual widow. God is our Father, and we as the church, we are the bride of Christ. Indeed, in John 14, Jesus promised that we will know we are no longer orphans when we have the Holy Spirit is in us, when the Holy Spirit is applying the work of Jesus to us. We're no longer like the orphan Oliver Twist saying, "Please, sir, can I have some more for some more porridge?" We're no longer even the orphan Annie singing, "The sun will come out tomorrow." Because if we are brought into adoption by Jesus, by his sacrifice, the sun has come out today and we are saved. So our God is by nature a father, a protector, a caring God. And this is nowhere more evident than in the gospel. So if he has saved the spiritual helpless into a body, into the church, he is still also the father of the fatherless and the protector of widows, those who are physically without father or physically a widow. The helpless in society, not the helpless in spirit, specifically now, but we're talking about the helpless in society. So to be a widow or to be an orphan is to have lost the father in the family who will provide, who will protect. What was true in biblical times, I think it's true today that the people who have lost the head of their household, they are exposed and they are vulnerable. But we know that God does see the orphan and the widow. We could turn to Deuteronomy 10 and know that God is not blind to suffering. Explicitly, he is not blind to the needs of the fatherless and the widow. God, who is omnipresent and omniscient, he knows the number of hairs on our head. Would he not know when our earthly father has gone from us? So God sees those who are socially helpless, the orphan and the widow in our churches, but he also acts in the aid of these orphans and widows. He clearly acts through his people, the body of Christ, the church. In Old Testament passages, God expressly condemns the oppression of the fatherless and the widow by Israel. Jeremiah 7, God commands the people to turn from evil things, including oppressing the orphan and the widow. Isaiah 1, God says the wickedness of the people are evident in their oppression of the orphan and widow, even comparing them to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is far as list of cities to be compared to, that one must fall near the bottom. So as God's people on this side of the cross, on God's people in the New Testament, we also bear this responsibility to tend to the orphan and the widow. To do so is an expression of our Father's love. James 1:27, we touched on it this morning, teaches us that one of the activities of actually doing the word, one of the activities of purely following God, includes, and you can probably guess, caring for the orphans and the widows. And as we spent our time in this morning, 1 Timothy 5, God tells his people to care for the widow, care for the one without the father in the family, care for the vulnerable. So God cares for the orphan and the widow, and he clearly commands his church to do so. As we heard this morning, we as the church must be caring for those who are vulnerable, simply because we are a family. So what are some ways we can do this? What are some applicable ways this week, this month, this year, we as a church can be caring for those who are vulnerable, those as the ones who have been brought out of our spiritual helplessness can care for those who are helpless in society? One would be to host those in the church who are vulnerable in this way, orphans and widows, host them in your home. Ask them over for dinner or just for coffee in the evening. Ask over those who have experienced loss and talk to them. Another way, maybe to just give a call to a widow or a homebound member. The resource that was referenced this morning, the member directory, that's the go-to resource for this. Another way to maybe care for orphans would be to simply perhaps adopt. If you have the availability and see a path for you to bring another image bearer of God into your family, perhaps consider doing so. Consider this with your spouse. Or in your own personal budget, set aside amounts of money each month as an ambivalence fund. Bless those who you know are vulnerable. Bless those who you know are vulnerable in the church. Care for the orphan and the widow and share the good news of Jesus and his love while you're doing this, showing them that we love them because we have first been loved. Another way, simply give to the church. Give monetarily to the church regularly as to fund the pursuit of blessing these people. And do so, give of your money joyfully. You can give online at ubcfayetteville.org quite easily, I might add, with one of the categories literally being an adoption fund. We as a church support Compassion House and Loving Choice Ministries, caring for both the women and the children of unplanned pregnancies who would fall into this vulnerable category that we must be caring for as a church. So God cares for the orphan and the widow. He does so clearly through his people, the church. So think back to that, the epitome of nobility, the epitome of being the fatherly protector figure. Right, the Knights of the Round Table, they're held aloft for that nobility, the peak of human selflessness. They are the ones who defended those who cannot defend themselves. They were looked to as the protectors. Well, the Knights of the Round Table, that companionship fractured, Camelot fell, and Arthur died. But our God, our Father, our protector, he is the one who truly cares for those who cannot defend themselves. He is the true loving Father, and the true loving protector. He is the Father and protector to orphan and the widow in spiritual ways. To care is in our God's nature. He loves and he redeems those who are helpless in spirit through our belief and repenting in the work of Jesus on the cross. And also, further than that, he's a Father and protector to the orphan and widow in society. He cares for the orphan and the widow through his people, the church. We must serve God and the orphan, and the widow in this mission. Our God is a Father and a protector. He's a Father and protector in spirit and also in society. He cares for the orphan. He cares for the widow. And he cares for the world. Church, let us reflect this in how we care. Let's pray. Dear God, we praise you for who you are in nature. We praise you for being the Father and protector and then revealing this to us in your word. We thank you for bringing us out of being spiritual orphans, spiritual widows, God, and through the blood of Jesus, through his sacrifice, giving us the ability to have faith in him and be made right before you, God. We thank you. Please help us to go through this week, through this month, through our lives, always thinking of this, always remembering that we were once orphans and widows, and for us to care for those who in society are vulnerable, because we love them because we were first loved by you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.